quotation from John Calvin. We, by which he compacted with himself what he willed to become of each man. And so the idea is before God ever created anything, God willed and God chose exactly what he wanted for each individual. And the idea is God selected you to receive irresistible grace, and if he did not select you, then he chose not to give it to you. And so according to them, those that are going to be saved are going to be those who were predestined by God to receive the irresistible grace and save them. The text sometimes that they use is Romans chapter 8, 29 through 30, so we're going to go to this text and study it and see exactly what it does actually teach. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, to these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. The text here does indeed talk about predestination. But you got to keep the phrase here within the context of what it's talking about. First of all, it talks about God having foreknowledge. God does know what we're going to do before we do it. According to Isaiah, God knows the end from the beginning and everything in between. But notice what it says here about predestination. Those whom God foreknew, he predestined for them to be conformed to the image of his Son. Read the entire sentence of what was predestinated was those whom he foreknew, they were going to be conformed to the image of his Son. Basically, that's what Christianity is, my brethren. And we're striving by faith to become conformed to the image of Christ. We're trying to be more like Jesus day by day. That is what God predetermined and predestinated, that those whom he foreknew, that he expected them to become conformed to the image of Christ. And then going further in this, it talks about how those whom he foreknew and predestinated, he called. In Ephesians chapter 3, 1 through 5, later on we're going to talk about that calling. But right now in 1 Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, I know that says a lot right there, so let's break it down and look especially at what I've underlined here. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. What we're talking about here is how we're going to be saved. Those who are going to be saved are going to be saved in him. God knew we were going to sin before he ever created us. And he understood it was going to take Christ crucified for us to have any hope of being with him in heaven. And so those who are going to be saved, those who are the chosen, the elect ones, they are going to be chosen in him. Look at the very close in verse 5. He predestined us to be adopted to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ. What was predestined was that we were going to become children of God through Jesus Christ. Christ is what was predestinated. That anybody that was going to be saved was going to be saved in Christ. And those who were in Christ were expected to conform themselves to the image of Christ. In a nutshell, that is what Christianity is. You've got to be in Christ, and those who are in Christ are supposed to be conforming themselves to the image and example of Jesus Christ, as we sang about in the song tonight. Now, then going back to Matthew 26 and verse 34. Those whom God foreknew, those are the ones he predestinated. But now, what about the foreknowledge of God? This is one of the best examples about the foreknowledge of God. In Matthew 26, 34, Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Now, then I have a question for you. Jesus, obviously here in the text, has foreknowledge as God in the flesh. He has foreknowledge, and we see the nature of the foreknowledge was specific foreknowledge. He knew that Peter that very night was going to deny him three times. He even knew the timing of the third time Peter was going to deny him right before the rooster crowed. So what I'm trying to show you is God has foreknowledge in specific detail. But because Jesus had foreknowledge of what Peter was going to do that night, here's the question, was Peter forced to do it? No, he was not. Because God has the foreknowledge of our choices before we make them doesn't mean that we're forced to make them. God is God, and just being God in his very nature. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything before it happens. But because that is his very nature does not mean that he has taken away man's free will to choose. God has foreknowledge. So God does indeed know those, I believe, who are going to be Christians before they obey the gospel. He knows those from the very beginning who's going to be in Christ. But he's determined that those who are going to be in Christ, that's the way they're going to be saved, and he expects them to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's what God predestinated. How we were going to be saved in Christ, and how we're expected to be conformed to the image of Christ, those who were in Christ. Now, getting back to the text there in Romans, how is it that God calls us? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. To which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the way in which God calls us, he calls us by the gospel. Those who hear the calling of the gospel and respond to the gospel are, guess what? They're the called. We're the ones who respond to the gospel. Now, what I want to do here, I want you to just get your sermon outline and go with me back to the text here in Romans 8. Because what I'm wanting you to see here is we go from one point in time before anything was ever created all the way to the other end on the other side of the creation after it's destroyed. We go from before God created anything to ultimately being with God in heaven. Now just read the text with me again one more time. Romans chapter 8, 29 through 30 from the outline for you. For whom he foreknew, that's before anything was ever done. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's before anything was ever even created. He talks on further, and going back to it, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, to these he also called. So we've already learned how did he call us. He called us by the gospel. So now we're in the very middle of the Word of God, where now Christ has come. And now you can be baptized into Christ by obeying the gospel. And he says, those whom he called, going back to the text, those whom he called, these he also justified. If you want to be justified before God, you have to respond to the calling of the gospel. And when God justifies you because you are forgiven of your sins, in the end, when you stand before him in judgment, those whom he justified, these he will also glorify. Now you're on the other side in heaven. What I want to show you here is the beauty of this text. Just forget false doctrine for a moment. Just the beauty of the text. Then it goes from before creation to after creation and in between. And what it's dealing with is how God, out of this creation, this time period when God has created, the only thing that's going to be carried out of it are those who are going to be in Christ, who have conformed themselves to the image of Christ after they obeyed the gospel of Christ. Now then, back to the lesson. Limited atonement, I don't mind telling you folks, if you understand what it's saying, it basically makes God very partial. Let's read some of these quotes here. The rest of mankind, God was pleased according to the unsearchable counsel of his own will, whereby he extendeth or withholdeth mercy as he pleaseth, for the glory of his sovereign power over his creatures, to pass by or to ordain them to dishonor and wrath for their sins, to the praise of his glorious justice. Now you may have said it real well, but it still stinks. And I submit what I said there, folks. Because what this is talking about is God is basically, he passed by these people and it's to the glory of God that God wants these people to go to hell. Folks, that's not my God. My God doesn't want anybody to be lost. And he's not just going to pass by people and say, you go to hell because I want you to go to hell. No, that is not the God I read about in the New Testament or the Old Testament. Read this next quote with me. Those whom God passes over, he condemns. And this he does for no other reason than he wills to exclude them from the inheritance, which he predestined for his own children. And so God, before he ever created anything, he decided who he wanted to go to hell. Just putting it bluntly. Folks, God does not want anybody to go to hell. And the idea of God selecting people and condemning them before he ever created them. Well, folks, I got something to say. If you created me and you're forcing me to go to hell, why did you create me? I don't want to exist. If you just created me to throw me in the fire. Because that's not my God. And the God Calvinism paints is not a God of... I'm sorry, you can see I'm getting upset, but it upsets me when I read these people's perspective of what they declaring God to be like. God doesn't want people to go to hell, folks. God loves everyone. God wants everybody to be saved. And their concept of God choosing people to go to hell, that is totally foreign to the God of the Scriptures. Look at this next quote. Double predestination is a conviction that if God actively chooses some people, he therefore must choose not to choose some others. That's pretty much straightforward. So if you go to hell, it's because God chose it for you. End of subject. And there ain't nothing you can do to change it. No matter how much you want to go, you can't go because you're not chosen. Why create me just to throw me in the fire? I would rather you not create me at all. Well, that being said, let's go and read about the true God of the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now look at this. Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Let that sink in. The true God of the Bible desires all men to be saved. 2 Peter 2, 3, verse 9. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God. That's true God of the Bible right there, folks. The true God of the Bible loves every human being that's ever lived. Loves them with a perfect love. And does not want anybody to go to hell. He wants all men, every single person in the world. He wants them to be saved. He wants them to come to the knowledge of the truth. Please let that sink in. That, the way the Scriptures reveal him here, is the true nature of our God who is love. Well, what about this partiality? Because pretty folks, I don't mind telling you, for God to choose somebody to go to heaven and choose somebody to go to hell, that's pure partiality right there, folks. But this is what the Scriptures say about God, 1 Peter 1:17. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear. The Father, when he judges, it is without partiality. Selecting you to go to hell before you ever even came into the world. Folks, that is as partial as you can get. But that is not what God did. God never selected anybody to go to hell before he ever created them. And then forced them to go to hell after he created them. And then throws them in hell and calls himself a just God. But the way they describe God is not a just God. The way the Scriptures describe God, he is a just God. He loves everybody, wants everybody to be saved, and when judgment day comes, there is no partiality. Acts chapter 10, verse 34 through 35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Amen. I agree with the Scripture completely. And the Scripture completely disagrees with Calvinism. Those of you that believe Calvinism, you need to understand what it is and what it's teaching and how it describes our God completely wrong. When judgment comes, it's going to be according to truth. It's going to be without partiality. And notice here, verse 35, in every nation, no matter where you are, whoever fears him and is working righteousness, you're going to be accepted by him. Well, what about the death of Jesus Christ? This is what they have to say about it. God calls human beings, or at least some human beings, to a special relationship and destiny. You get that, don't you? At least some human beings. And the idea is, if he didn't choose you, I'm sorry, you can't come. No matter how bad you want to come, sorry, you can't make it. Well, let's see what the Bible says about this. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death, notice this now, for everyone. Christ died on the cross for everyone, not just a few select individuals. Limited atonement is not taught in the scriptures. The atonement of the blood of Christ is for everyone. Everyone has the potential and the opportunity to be saved. Amen. Titus chapter 2 verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So what is it that brings salvation? It's the grace of God. And this grace of God that brings salvation, who has it appeared to? Some of the men.
No.
It hasn't appeared to some men. It's appeared to all men. God's grace is potential for anybody. Christ crucified is for everybody. And so if you don't make it to heaven, it's not God's fault. He didn't force you to go to hell. John 3:16. You probably all quote this verse. For God so loved who? The world. That he gave his only begotten Son. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Again, God loves everybody. When he says God loves the world, that is every single human being. Whoever has lived, who is alive now and ever will live. And he gave his Son for everybody in the world, because he loves everybody in the world and wants everybody to be saved. Acts 17:30. Truly, these times of ignorance, God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Have you noticed the common denominator between all these verses here in the close of the sermon? Just look at him with me. He commands all men everywhere to repent. God so loved the world. Going back to Hebrew or Titus, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Now going back to Hebrews 2 and 9, that by grace he might taste death for everyone. Everyone, all men, the world. No, there's no partiality with God, folks. None. There is no God selecting people to go to hell before he ever even created the earth. That is not God. And when they try to say that that is God and try to act like, you're not supposed to question that. Well, I'm sorry, I'm questioning it. I'm questioning what you're saying about God, comparing it to the scriptures that reveal the true God to me. And what I see in the scriptures is a God who is holy and a God who loves every human being on the planet, who ever has lived, is alive now, and ever will live. And he loves them with a perfect love greater than anyone. And he loves them so much, he gave his Son to die for them. He wants them to come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants them to repent. He wants them to be saved. But he's not going to force them. They have to hear the calling of the gospel, and as free-willed individuals, they have to obey the gospel. God's not going to force anybody to come to him. You come to him by responding to the calling of the gospel. And those who obey the gospel, they will be justified by God because God will forgive them. And when judgment day comes, they will be glorified by God, and they will rise to eternal life. Go back and read that text there in Romans. It's a beautiful text. It's describing God knows those that's going to be saved, I believe, before he ever created anything. And he predetermined that those that were going to be saved, you're supposed to be conformed to the image of his Son. And yes, he's going to call you by the gospel. And I believe God, I'm just talking with Francis' belief here. I believe God knows those are going to obey the gospel before they obey it. He knew Peter was going to deny him three times before the rooster crowed, folks. That's detailed foreknowledge. What prophecy is the foreknowledge of God. All the prophecy in the Bible is the foreknowledge of God of what's coming before it comes. Only God can do that. But just because God knows what we're going to do before we do it, doesn't mean he forces us to do what we do. We have free will to choose. You have free will to choose to obey the gospel. That's the point I'm trying to make here, folks. So because you have free will to choose to obey the gospel, if you don't obey the gospel and you don't respond to the calling of God and you don't respond to Christ crucified and in the end you're condemned by God, whose fault is it? Yours and yours alone. God's done everything he can from his end for you to be saved. And if you're not going to come to him through Christ, that's your choice. But you're not forced to reject Christ. You're not pre-programmed to reject Christ. Whosoever will, may come and take of the water of life freely. That means you. That means me. All of us are free will beings who have the potential within us to come to God through Jesus Christ. I hope this lesson has helped you understand what I consider to be the extremely disturbing picture Calvinism paints of God. A God who would choose people to go to hell, folks. That's disturbing to me. Because that is not the God I read about in the Bible. The God I read about wants all men to be saved. He wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. His grace that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And his son died for everybody. Now it's up to us on our end to come to him through Christ in obedience to the gospel. If you're not a child of God yet, God is calling you. He's wanting you to come to him. He's calling you by the gospel. And what he's trying to tell you through Christ crucified is very simply this. I love you and I want you with me. I love you and I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to be saved. Respond to the calling of God. Respond to the love of God. Hear his call to you through the sacrifice of his son of how much he loves you and how much he wants you to be with him. And respond to the calling of God by obeying the gospel. Coming forward, confessing your faith, repenting of your sins and being baptized into the body of Christ for the remission of your sins. You will then be justified before God because your sins will be forgiven. As you go forward and live by faith, the just shall live by faith. And as you live by faith and die in that faith, when judgment day comes, folks, it's going to be good for you. Because you will rise to eternal life. And because you responded to the calling of God in this life by your own free will choice to come to God in obedience to the gospel, God will forgive you, and in the end, God will glorify you, and you will be with him forever in heaven. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ that he called you with. If you're in Christ already and there's sin between you and your God that you haven't dealt with, we want to encourage you to have the godly sorrow enough to deal with it. Take the sin to God, confess it to him, and turn from it. We'll pray for you, we'll pray with you, we'll do the best we can to encourage you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song which has been selected.